You're with The Record here on KUOW Seattle. We're tweeting at KUOW. I'm Marcy Silman in this week for Bill Radke. Missile strikes on Syria, FBI investigations, your personal data is sold and used to sway elections, threats of nuclear war. Do news headlines ever make you want to just flee, throw away your smartphone, and start a new life in the woods alone? In 1986, a young man in Maine walked away from everything. Christopher Knight set up a small camp in the deep Maine woods, and eventually people nearby began to call him the North Pond Hermit. Michael Finkel chronicled this man's story in his book, The Stranger in the Woods, out in paperback now. Welcome to The Record.
Thank you.
So Christopher Knight, this North Pond Hermit, spent 27 years living in a secluded encampment. He didn't speak to a single person in those nearly 30 years. How did he subsist there?
Yeah, he didn't make a phone call, spend any money, see the internet, drive in a car, use an indoor toilet. He was, in a word, rugged. In a second word, highly intelligent and able to solve major problems. I'm an outdoorsman myself, spent most of my time in Montana, where I spend a lot of time outdoors, and his ability to set up a tent, to figure out things, how to even get water when it's below freezing, how to survive without lighting a fire. He was afraid that smoke would give his encampment away, and lived through these winters without lighting a fire. And without getting into too much detail, just was ingenious at figuring out how to survive without making a fatal mistake, which is hard to imagine. You remember that story, Into the Wild, with Chris McCandless, another Chris. And Chris McCandless died after 4 months in the Alaska wild, and Christopher Knight, after 27 years, came out strong as an ox.
Well, he was very ingenious in terms of setting up his encampment and trying to maintain a body temperature in the Maine winters. But he also did something to subsist that a lot of people... It wasn't like he was living off of berries and squirrel meat. He was a burglar.
Yes, Chris Knight was a thief. And as he told me, to tell everybody else, I am not to romanticize him, although I do speak warmly about him from time to time. Yeah, I asked him, why didn't you hunt and fish? And he grew up in central Maine and is a skilled fisherman and a hunter. Very frequently, Chris Knight, during our interviews, compared himself with animals. And he usually meant that as a compliment. He liked to get as fat as possible and gather as much food as possible before the long winter, just like all the animals in the forest. And in Montana, where I live, there's always a couple times a year where all the garbage cans in the neighborhood are overturned by bears that have just come out of hibernation. Well, why don't those bears get berries that week? What are they doing with the garbage can? And the answer is that it is way more efficient. Energy efficient to do that. Chris Knight, living alone in the woods, needed to be as efficient as possible. Very difficult to hunt and fish in a cold climate. Much easier to pick locks and take things from pantries. If animals had opposable thumbs, I bet they'd be picking locks and taking food from our houses.
Being a thief was eventually his downfall.
Chris Knight not only spent 27 years completely alone in He spoke a total of one syllable one time. He said hi to a passing hiker in 27 years, but that wasn't even enough for him. His intention, as hard as this is to imagine, and by the way, this story is true, completely true, he planned to spend his entire life secluded from the rest of humanity and was arrested by an extremely energetic and motivated, obsessed game warden who solved the case.
Well, the game warden started tracking him because people nearby, I mean, he wasn't that far, Christopher Knight, from where people lived. People nearby started noticing stuff gone missing.
Yeah, there's so many elements of the story. It's like catnip for a journalist. There's like, you know, the adventure tale, the survival, the solitude. Yeah, and the true crime aspect is confounding. It was second homes, little encampments around these lakes in central Maine that were missing small things, hamburger meat, Stephen King novels, your batteries, but no doors are kicked in, no windows are broken, your computer's there, your money's there, your jewelry. It sort of like fell in the cracks of between being unsettling but not really a crime. And it didn't go on for 5 years or 10 years or 15 years. It went on for more than a quarter century, so long that people had no idea. Was it a man? Was it a woman? A gang of people? Somebody disgruntled? They didn't know, but they just gave this mystery a name, and they called it the North Pond Hermits, and it was I mean, there were kids who grew up with North Pond Hermit stories who had kids of their own. At least three college papers were written about it. And it was like there was like the Loch Ness Monster, the Himalayan Yeti, and the North Pond Hermit. It was that that much of a legend.
We're talking about the book, The Stranger in the Woods, about the North Pond Hermit with Michael Finkel, who wrote this book. You live in Montana, as you said earlier. This happened in Maine. How did you hear about Christopher Knight?
I read a small news report from the Kennebec County Journal in central Maine, the online edition, and it sort of tweaked all of the obsessive and curious parts of my journalistic makeup. I love to spend time outside. And I love to read books. And this is a guy who basically spent his whole life outside reading thousands of books, basically the world champion of two of my favorite things to do. And I think speaking with hermits is a primal curiosity. Like, we want to know, oh, guru, what do you have to say about the rest of us? What did you learn? Why did you leave? Are you, as you mentioned before, are you crazy? Are you mentally insane? What is this story even true? And, you know, I had hundreds of questions and eventually wrote him a letter. We started our relationship. By the way, anybody out there who wants to communicate with someone who hasn't spoken in 27 years, I suggest starting with a letter. And that was really, by luck or by good guess, it was a great way to initiate a correspondence with a very shy individual by handwritten, old-fashioned epistolary interview style.
How long was it before you finally went to Maine to meet him in person?
Well, you know, despite the fact that I'm not to romanticize Chris Knight the Hermit, you can imagine that someone who just spent 27 years in complete autonomy and freedom in the woods, who's now locked in a cage with another person he was arrested for stealing food and put in jail, would be suffering. And after a season's worth of sending letters, he said that he felt that he was losing his sanity more after a couple of months in jail than he ever did after nearly 30 years in the woods, and was too upset to even continue writing. And I took a chance and I went to Maine from Montana. I checked in at the visiting booth at the jail and he agreed to see me. He had, I think, rejected the overtures of something like 500 other journalists. So I'm forever grateful to Chris Knight for choosing me to share, to tell a story. And we did meet in the jail about nine times for an hour each.
The encounters don't sound as if they were very easy. This was, while you may find him sympathetic, he seemed to me to be a very difficult man to get the story out of.
Yeah, I think I have masochistic tendencies. Chris Knight was not my friend. He's a truly a private individual, possibly the most private individual that has ever lived that I could find. And of course, he was very difficult to speak with. And I kind of, I don't know, respected that, or, you know, if you're going to talk to someone who has truly lived their life as an utter outlier, apart from all society for all this time, I mean, he left the woods before there were even cell phones, let alone internet, and, you know, didn't come back until after. Like, I expected it to be challenging, and I sort of was, instead of being frustrated by the lack of communication, was very appreciative for what things Chris did speak to me about. And he also had a very beautiful way of using the English language. It was almost like he invented his own dialect. I'm probably not going to be able to mimic it too well here on the radio, but in the book I tried to capture the way he spoke really touched me.
One of the things I wondered in reading about this man is whether it was 27 years alone in the woods that made him the way he was when you finally spoke with him, or he was like that. And that's why he went to spend 27 years in the woods. In other words, does 27 years apart from human interaction transform you totally, or do you have to be of that bent to seek that out?
You know, I can imagine people listening to this conversation wondering, oh, I wonder what mental illness he has. Is he autistic, or they don't have the diagnosis Asperger's anymore, but, it, you know, in that category. And the truth is he was examined by the state psychologist in Maine, and several other experts weighed in on his case, and there really is no label you can put on Chris Knight. He's such an outlier. For example, many autism experts said his ability to plan so many months in advance for winter seemed antithetical to almost any other person they'd met on the spectrum. One psychologist offered 15 possible diagnoses and then sort of threw his hands up and said, I diagnose him as a hermit. And I think sort of one of the deeper themes of the book and thinking about Chris Knight isn't is what do we do with someone who really doesn't fit into society? If you're like Chris Knight never even had a penknife with him. He's not a real evil, violent criminal. We know what to do with evil and violent criminals. We have a prison system for you. If you are truly mentally insane, well, then we do have doctors and hospitals for you. But what if you just don't fit into the rest of the world? We don't really have a place for you. What do we do with it? And it's one of the questions that the book asks.
Other cultures do have a place for you. American culture might not be a culture, but you write about many other traditions around the world where it's actually a great thing. It's the highest thing that you could do is to go seek enlightenment or spiritual fulfillment or what have you alone.
Right. I mean, we're generally speaking, humans are a social species. We loved, I mean, just watch what anybody has, 30 free seconds of time. What do? We meditate? No, we fish our phones out and communicate further. But throughout history, in all cultures, at all times, there have been those people who have wanted to remove themselves from society, whether it's for religious or artistic or self-fulfillment reasons. And Chris Knight fits into this grand tradition. It goes back to the beginning of time. I mean, Jesus himself spent 40 days completely alone in the Judean desert for establishing a religion that has, what, more than a billion followers today.
Have you ever had hermit-like impulses?
Yes. I have three little kids at home and a wife and a busy job, and so my house is noisy. It seems 24/7. Even before I encountered Chris Knight, and maybe one of the reasons why it fired up my curiosity, I was very interested in people that spent time alone and tried it myself. I went to a 10-day silent meditation retreat in India, and I was terrible at it. It was one of the most difficult things I've ever done. And this is, you know, all I had to do was just sit there and do nothing, and it is the most difficult thing. So I was a failure as a hermit, but I gave it a try, and I don't know. We were afraid to spend time alone. The only person we're ever really going to know in the whole world is ourselves, and we're afraid to do it. And I include myself in that category. And so my curiosity and fascination of people who were able to go to the bottom of that like internal well. I think humans have been curious forever, and I am equally curious.
Towards the end of Chris Knight's stay in jail, he became, or at least expressed to you, some suicidal thoughts. He was very unhappy. Is he still alive?
Yeah. So the book itself and the story of Chris Knight, you know, has what would cause someone to go into the woods? Why would you stay? What happened to you? What did you feel for being alone? And then one of the other questions I had is what happens with someone who has lived all by themselves for the heart of their life? Imagine between the ages of 20 and 47. Before that, you're an adolescent. After that, you're practically a middle-aged person. What happens to a person that has been pulled out of that involuntarily and stuck back in our fast-paced, 24/7, ridiculously busy society? And probably not surprising, Chris Knight did not return to society easily. He felt overwhelmed. Of course, I feel overwhelmed, and I consider myself an active member of this society. I think there's two or three times a day where I can't believe how too muchness is upon me. And there was he spent only 7 months in jail, by the way, Chris Knight. And upon his release, he was very upset, and we had a very heartbreaking conversation once he was released from jail. It seemed like he would be more free, but in a weird way, jail has its structure and rigidity, and suddenly being plunked into society was almost less freeing to someone like Chris Knight, and expressed ideas that he might kill himself. And I was obviously extremely worried, and I'm happy to report that he has not followed through on that, and we are no longer in contact. Chris Knight is a true hermit. He did not want to be my friend. But to the best of my knowledge, he is still living in central Maine, has not returned to the woods, and he is a true survivor, has carved out a life for himself that at least is acceptable.
Michael Finkel is the author of The Stranger in the Woods. He's going to be speaking at REI in Seattle tonight at 6:30. Thanks so much for coming by today.
Thanks for having me on.
And that wraps up The Record, produced by Amina Alsadi, Ajwa Jima Brempong, and Casey Martin. Bree Ripley tweeting tomorrow, an interview with the outgoing president of Planned Parenthood, Cecile Richards. I'm Marcy Silman, in for Bill Radke. Thanks for listening. Have a good afternoon.